This morning to the book of Luke. I have a message that God's Holy Ghost poured on me yesterday. I mean, I felt it right down to the deep of my heart. And there's nobody that loves preaching more than I do. You know that. I don't have to convince you of that. The Bible is my life. The Bible is my life. How many of you can say the Bible is my life? Would you mind slipping up your hand? The Bible is my life. It really is. I love that song too. Oh, streets of gold. Can you imagine the scenes that we're going to see? But Jesus, say it with me, will you? But Jesus will outshine them all. We're up a sword. I'm a raising you. Holy Corbin. Oh, Santori Messiah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Reading in the book of St. Luke, chapter 21, I won't read but a few verses. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I won't do that. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famines, pestilence, fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Deliver you up to the synagogues and into the prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Now listen carefully. it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. But I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not one hair, not an hair of your head, perish. Now listen to the word of God this morning. It is my desire to preach a simple thought, and I want you to get it. You may be seated. You may be seated. It's too late to be late. It's too late to be late. Will you listen to that carefully? It's too late to be late. We are living at the end of the church age. There is no doubt. There's no biblical question. There's nothing you can read anywhere in this Bible that would suggest anything but that this is it. We have come down to the end. The Bible beautifully fulfilled. The ultimate hour has come. I think I can say that with all sincerity and earnestness and not miss a thing. The ultimate hour has come. I feel it way down inside. I've been serving him 64 years. The Holy Ghost has dealt with me all through the 64 years. And I have made statement after statement about what was happening, where it was going to go to, how bad it was going to get. And none of that I've said has not come to pass. People call the radio all the time. After 43 years that we've been on this one program. And they say, Brother Chambers, I remember you saying this. I remember you saying that. I remember you saying the other. And it's happening just like you've said to us through the years. I don't deserve any credit for that. It had to have been the Holy Ghost, because it was not something that came out of my head or out of my wisdom. We are living in the ultimate hour. And I want to say something that I want you to hear. America right now is more vile than Sodom and Gomorrah was when God destroyed that city with fire. I said America is more vile, allowing and championing more debauchery and blasphemy than even they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. I've studied the Bible intently. There was never one moment that they mentioned same-sex marriage in Sodom and Gomorrah. Never, never mentioned it. It didn't happen. It wasn't part of their lifestyle. Not one time was there any picture of transgender people. Little boys and little girls being taught that they may actually be little boys when they're little girls and little girls when they're boys. Never was that taught in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The only thing that city was filled with and overwhelmed with was simply sodomy. Sodomy. But America has gone three or four steps or degrees beyond sodomy, and we yet have got some distance we may travel before the rapture, if you can stand it, or whether you can stand it or not, I should say. So America is more vile than Sodom and Gomorrah when God burned that city to ashes and left nothing but a desolate land, still desolate after all those thousands of years since that occurred. Now listen to me. The fire of judgment is already preparing. The fire of judgment is already preparing. You ain't thought about this. I know, I haven't heard if you did, but I know what the Holy Ghost is saying to me, and I'm thinking to do a program on it. The four horsemen of Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4 are already riding through this world, creating consternation, creating blasphemy, creating darkness of hell, or at least really not creating it, but turning it loose, allowing it. Literally, the four horsemen of Ezekiel chapter 1. You can find them very clearly. We may get to read it this morning. Not sure I'll have time. Then Revelation chapter 4. But they're riding now. They're riding across this globe. If you don't believe it, you watch the news. You'll see this upheaval and that upheaval and this great earthquake and that great tornado and that great volcano. And you'll see that great ugliness in some city. You'll see things that will boggle your mind. I saw a great big crowd of people this week in a picture here in America, and they were celebrating atheism. They were carrying signs blaspheming God, and they could not care less that Christians were being persecuted and being rejected. Now, let me tell you, God will be a little bit patient when men and women are wicked. When men and women respect him in some degree, and often their head maybe, but they live like devils, live like dark people, and I mean dark in the sense of wicked. Color of the skin has nothing to do with this. You understand that? We're talking about evil. We're talking about evil. Well, we live in a day when people are not just wicked, but they are wicked in an arrogant attitude toward God. They're wicked with a blasphemous attitude toward God. They will spit God in the face and never think twice about it. That's just how this nation has turned. It is a wicked world. It is a dark situation. And when you think about all of this, the four horsemen riding, oh, I'm telling you, we are there. We are there. Now, I want to give you several things this morning, and I hope you'll write them down or remember them, that you can see happening in America that lets us know it's too late to be late. It's too late to be late. Number one, the church in the world is on life support. The church all over America and the world is on life support. Now, you know what I mean when I say life support. Life support, somebody comes in your house and says, my mother has been real sick, and they just put her on life support. That means that she's got a machine breathing for her. She's got another machine that's sending her blood through the veins. She's living on the machines that they've got hooked up to her or him. And the moment they undo those machines and cut them off, she's dead. Well, the church is on life support. The church is barely existing. People say to me all the time, I don't understand. I know there are good men out there preaching the word. There's a lot of them. A lot of them. Most of them are just men of small churches or of some church somewhere. They're preaching the word. But people always say it. Where are the preachers, Reverend Chambers? A man said to me this week, he said, I don't know but one other preacher that's preaching the things you're preaching. I don't know how many are preaching them. I don't have a chance to go hear them. I know the preachers I know are preaching them, or I'm on their case to get them started, because we live in a dark hour. We live in a dark day. But the church is on life support. There's so little real visitation of the Holy Ghost. We come here to church, right here, this church, and I just yearn for the Holy Ghost to take this place with a storm. But it don't happen easily. It's like there's such a darkness in the air. There's such a negligent that our world is overwhelmed with. And the church world, God's people, spend too much time on television and all kinds of things that occupy them. And so little time in the Bible and on their faces in prayer. And so much of the prayer we see today is almost like they're moaning instead of praying. I'm calling you to old-fashioned Holy Ghost praying that bellow out to God the passions of your heart, because we are living in a day of the church desperate need of a sovereign breakthrough. I've got to have a sovereign move. This preacher is not going to be satisfied until God's Holy Ghost comes down like rain on the mown grass. I'm waiting for God to breathe upon us with His glory and His power, and I know it's got to happen. I'm believing that with all my heart. You say, well, if the rapture takes place first, then I'm gone, and y'all can have it after I'm gone if you're still here. I hope you won't be here, by the way. But I'm telling you, we're living in a dark day. The church is really terrible shape. Really terrible shape. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not, but the hour has come that Bible-believing Christians are an offense just by being a Bible-believing Christian. You don't even have to open your mouth. You just live it. You just live it. Just live it. Just live right. Keep your face shining. Keep your testimony clear. Keep your reflection of Bible holiness evident. Just do it. Just live right. And you are an offense. And people are bothered by you. The president of this United States was reported for saying this week, the president of this United States was reported. I didn't hear him say it, but I've read about it several places. I presume it's true. He said that Bible-believing Christians are an offense to the homosexual community. Just by nature of being a Bible-believing Christian. Bible-believing Christians are an offense to Muslims. Bible-believing Christians are an offense to homosexuals. Bible-believing Christians are an offense to transvestites. Bible-believing Christians are an offense to secularists who live for the world and their own desires and their own appetites. Bible-believing, what did I read you in the Bible? The book of Luke, the words of Jesus, that you would be hated by all nations for His sake. How many of you don't mind being hated for Jesus' sake? Could I see your hand? Come on, raise it way up high. How many of you don't mind being hated for Christ's sake? You don't mind the world looking at you and say, wow, what are you? Some kind of an old-fashioned Christian? Yeah, that's exactly what I am. I went to the farmer's market yesterday, and man, that place was swarmed. It was a mob. The reason I found a parking place is I had a handicap a thing for my car. My wife and I got us one each because it helps her, and I can use it when she's not with me. You know, I don't look handicapped, I hope. Some people may think I am, at least up here. But I want to tell you, that was a mob in that place. And I went through there, and I, you know, kind of squeezing my way, and I was singing. I was praising the Lord. I was saying, Jesus is coming. I was saying, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? And you know, it's okay to me. They look at me like I'm a little bit odd. Well, I've been to Calvary. I'm supposed to be odd. How about you? Have you been to Calvary? If you have been, you're a little bit odd. If you're not odd, and something's wrong, he said, we are peculiar people. I don't mean peculiar like some people talk about peculiar, but genuinely different. Hallelujah. So we live in a day that being an old-fashioned Bible Christian is an offense. Now you listen to me. If they're saying that now, what will they be saying 2 years from now or 3 years from now? If Jesus tarries, you better listen. I know what I'm saying is right. I know it's from Him. If Jesus tarries 2 more years or 3 more years, Christians across America are going to start paying for their devotion to Jesus Christ in the courts of law. You're going to start paying. You know how many there are right now who had to close down their business because they would not serve transvestites and they would not serve a same-sex marriage. And I don't mean they wouldn't treat them nice. They just wouldn't be a part of a wedding, or they just wouldn't be a part of some event that put them in the middle of it. Hey, listen, I'm here to tell you, the first time I go into a public place and there's a restroom and I need to go by and I see a transvestite in the wrong room, I'm going to take them out. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, you can't do that. Well, you just watch me. You'll probably get to see me, because I'm telling you, it's time we took a stand. It's time we are something beside talkers. We got to be walkers. If you don't walk the walk, don't do the talk, okay? If you don't walk the walk, don't do the talk. Somebody help me with that, will you? Are you hearing me? If you don't walk the walk, don't do the talk. It's a dark hour. It's a late hour. And this world needs to know somebody that brings conviction. Let me tell you, when you stand up for Christ, the reason it bothers people is because it grips their heart. It's because it brings conviction. It's because they realize that their mother used to teach them the same thing. They realize that maybe at one time they were an old-fashioned Christian, and so it disturbs them. So let your life be an offense to this world. You're too quiet for me this morning. I want your life to be an offense to this world. I want your life to be an offense to those around you. I don't want it to be on purpose. I don't want it to be because you're unkind. I don't want it to be because there's some ugly attitude in your demeanor. I want it to be because you have a smile on your face that cannot be wiped off with a brick bat. I want it to be because you've got kind and gentle words to say for anybody that you have an opportunity. I want it to be because you tell Jesus you love him in front of other people and witness to them about his saving grace. I want your offense to be gentle and Holy Ghost anointed and sweet by the Spirit of God and biblical. I don't want it to be anything else. Christians should never act ugly. They should never be condemning. They should never be mean. They need to be sweet and gentle and kind and full of the Holy Ghost so their words ring. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing wrong in walking through the grocery store with the Holy Ghost upon you and you praising the Lord in another language. There's nothing wrong with singing in the Holy Ghost in the middle of a shopping center. There's nothing wrong in testifying of His grace everywhere you go. It's right. That's old-time Christianity. You know, I'm writing a book on the life of Paul. Do you realize that Apostle Paul, before he even went out to preach, had to so die that he knew he would be a martyr for Christ and never had a fear about it. At one city called Philippi, they stoned him and left him for dead. And his disciples stood around him praying, and he got up when they thought he was dead and went right back into the city and kept on witnessing, ready to die. Are you ready to die for Christ? That's going to be the challenge of the next short period before Jesus comes. That's going to be the challenge. Are you willing to be a testimony? Are you willing to be a light? Hallelujah. Worldwide, the right to be a Christian is quickly disappearing. Worldwide, the right to be a Christian, Bible-believing Christian, is disappearing. I got to help you take that home with you. The worldwide picture is the right to be a Christian is disappearing. It is quickly being completely canceled out. And so if you don't start now, when are you going to start being a Bible-believing Christian? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm just excited about it. I really am. This is the words of Jesus. I've called, but no man regarded. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. I want to read you why the call is already late. It's too late to be late. Are you hearing me? Listen to this in the book of Proverbs. Because I have called, and you refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Are you listening? Are you listening? Because I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. This is where America is. This is where America is. God's been calling. God's been beckoning. I've been one of his voices. Other men, other women have been his voices, trying to tell this world we're going the wrong direction. We're going the wrong way. Same-sex marriage is from the pit of hell. Transgender thinking is in itself insanity. It's overwhelming to even think of these things. Why are they happening? Because God has been calling and men have been refusing. The longer God calls, and a generation or a culture of people, as the American people, as long as God calls and we keep refusing, as long as God calls and we don't respond, his call gets louder, but the condition of the heart gets more stony and more hard. And so he calls and no man regards. He calls and nobody listens. He calls and nobody responds. The last 20 years, especially the last 10, Brother Terry Wheeler, the last 10 years especially, I have preached as devotedly as I've ever preached in all my life. And I've had so little response until it boggles me. I don't grasp it. I don't understand it. How do you preach with such devotion? How do you fast and pray until your sermon comes from God and you know it comes from God? And yet people don't respond to it. Oh, he says it clearly. I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man listened. You've set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. And listen what he says. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, if you're not watching any news, the things that are taking place, there is a sense that God is laughing at the craziness that's gripped our nation. There's a sense that God has laughed at the craziness that's gripped our world. It's overwhelming. Exactly what the Bible said. When your fear cometh and desolation as your destruction cometh, when it comes like a whirlwind, when it comes with all of its fury, he said, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people today that are beginning to think, what in the world do we do? Where do we turn? I just read the other day, there's been more suicides the last 2 or 3 years than in a great number of years prior. The hearts of men fell in them for fear for looking after those things coming upon this earth. I have called, he says, and you refused. You said it not my counsel. You wouldn't hear my Bible. You made fun of my preachers. You made fun of men of God and women of God who gave a testimony of truth. And God says, now it's my time to act. You're going to call and I'm not going to hear you. It's too late to be late. It's already too late to be late. Another year, it will be even later to be late. And less numbers of people will have any possibility of responding to God's voice. Then shall they call, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge and did not fear the name of the Lord. Oh, hear me, church. Hear me when I tell you this morning, it's too late to be late. It's too late to be, somebody raise a hand or something. It's too late to be late. It's too late to be late. It's too late to play games with God. It's too late to be just literally careless. Careless about the things of God. I'm overwhelmed by it and I cry out to you with all my heart. I will laugh at your calamity. He said that. Now, let's try to understand. We see it happening. We see what's taking place in the political arena. We see what's taking place on the one world order scene. We see the coming of a one world order where there's no boundaries and there's no national identities. We hear them saying, we've got to have a mark. We've got to have a chip. We got to have you with identification because this one world order is coming and we're going to have a world. The vice president stood before a university a few days ago and said to the students, you've got to get ready for a world without borders. How about the situation in the airports? How about the long lines of people who are waiting, and some of them missing their planes because it's taken hours at times to get through the security lines? What are they trying to say to you? They're trying to say to you, you need a chip so you can get through these lines without all that problems. They got to identify you. I understand that. I understand that if there's going to be a one world order like they are proposing and they are planning and they are right now implementing, there's got to be some kind of security that's a worldwide system. And they've got to be able to know everybody that gets on a plane, and everybody that goes into a doctor's office, and everybody that walks into a grocery store, everybody that stops at a gas station. There's got to be some security. And the only way is everybody to have the same security, and we are there right now. I was told just within hours that the country of Sweden has already reached the point of absolute perfection with every citizen having a chip. Absolutely the whole nation. Well, Sweden is ahead of everybody in liberalism, and I can understand they are there. That kind of lifestyle, the Democrat, well, I guess she'll be their nominee. Hillary Clinton said this week, I mean, she made it very plain this very week that Christians have got to change some of their thinking. They want you to change. They aren't about to change. And I'm going to go by the Bible. How about you? Anybody in this building that's a real Bible-believing person? Are you really a Bible-believing person? How much do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible enough to die for it? Anybody here believe the Bible enough to die for it? Come on, raise your hand if you do. You believe the Bible enough to die for it? Do you really believe the Bible that sincerely? Well, listen to me. God's got some jewels. God's got some saints. God's got some men and women who are perfectly willing to die for the faith. They've been washed in the blood. They've become peculiar saints. They live by the Bible, lock, stock, and barrel. They love that scripture. Those are his jewels. Well, I got news for you. I don't know how bad this thing's going to get. I don't know what's going to happen in the next days and next weeks. I don't know what's going to happen by the end of this year. I honestly do not believe Sister Chambers and I will be here to celebrate our anniversary a year from now, because I believe the rapture is going to take place. Those jewels are going to be gone just before this thing gets so hellish, just before it becomes impossible to even eat, just before it becomes absolutely beyond any possibility of existing without you submitting and giving yourself to their way of life and to their plan for you and to their identification for you, just before it reaches the ultimate. Woo! A trumpet's going to sound. A Savior's going to step out on the clouds. Somebody help me praise him, will you? And he's coming. It's going to be too late to be too late in any moment now. I don't know the hour. I don't know the moment, but I know he's coming. And I know saints are leaving here. How many of you know some folks that are so devoted to Christ that they're going to be gone, and you know it? Would you raise your hand? Come on, raise your hand. You know some folks that's going to be gone? You know some folks that's going to be out of here in a moment? The twinkling of an eye at the last trump. How the two shall be in the field and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women are going to be working at the mill. Two ladies are going to be working in an office. Two ladies are going to be working in some business. Two men are going to be somewhere working together. And suddenly, one of them gone. Hallelujah. So, it's too late to be late. I said it's too late to be late. Now we are so close to these ending hours. I can give you things, and I'm amazed at all the things that are coming to my mind. There was just a little boy, and I really love this testimony. I'm not perfectly sure of everything about him, but he's an Israeli boy. He's 15 years old. Last September, be a year ago this coming September, he had a strange experience. He's not even sure what it was. They said out of a death experience, out of life for 15 minutes. I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't believe in that. I don't believe anybody dies and comes back. But he had this vision, and he heard these words, and I've listened to them, and I've read some of them. And he was saying to Israel, now he's an Israeli boy, and he was saying to Israel, the Messiah is coming. And he said the Messiah is going to stand on the top of the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives are going to cleave asunder beneath his feet. The Mount of Olives is going to cleave asunder beneath his feet. Have you ever read the book of Zechariah? Have you ever read the book of Zechariah? He told about the whole area becoming a big valley and the mountains sinking and the valleys rising until it was a beautiful garden-like place. Have you read the Bible? Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel? Everything I have read, the boy said he saw and heard for Israel now, for the Jewish people, was a directly part of what we know is going to happen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how much a right he may have been. The devil knows some things. Did you know? You don't always believe somebody because they tell something that's right in one case and right in a second case and right in a third case, but often a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, because the devil knows some things. And he'd love to deceive you. He'd love to get you in a trap. He loved to perform a miracle and get you following him. But I'm going to tell you, we are at the hour. We are at the hour. And the coming of the Lord is at the door. And there's so many proofs in this Bible. He spoke about the earthquakes. You may not know this, but earthquakes are occurring on a rate and at a number that is beyond anything ever imagined. History in the past gave no such things. But everything is happening. Just getting ready. Those four horsemen are riding across the land. They're opening the gates of hell where it's necessary to turn the demons loose. Did you know a demon can do nothing until God gives them permission? How many knew that? How many knew the devil can do nothing until God lets him loose out of his particular limitations? Let me tell you, all of these things are happening. They're happening big time. Everywhere you look, everything you read. And I'm just rejoicing because I'm knowing I'm part of those jewels that he's going to come and get just before all hell takes over this earth. And oh, Senator Clay, come on, hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand and just praise the Lord with me. I'm telling you, it's later than you think. It's later than you can even imagine. And the coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, it's later. It's already too late to be late. If there's anybody in this building, you're not ready to meet Jesus right now. You're living in danger zone. Anybody listening to this sermon on the internet or on the Facebook or on the YouTube, I'm here to tell you, you better listen to me, friend. Listen to me, friend. It's later than you think. It's too late to be late. It's too late to be any later. You may have a chance, and there's already a multitude of people that have crossed the mark. They've crossed the line. You know what the Holy Ghost says? He says, my spirit shall not, or God the Father actually says, my spirit shall not strive with men always. My spirit's not going to always strive with men. There comes a time when God says, okay, I've given you plenty of opportunity. I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand. You didn't pay me no attention. Now it's my time to refuse you. There are many trying to get saved today that can't get saved anymore. We got a church world full of people that don't have none but religion. They've never been born again. If you've never had a move of Christ in your heart that made a totally new creature out of you, if you've not been turned, I'm telling you, made a new person out of you, then you need to be born again. When you get born again, nobody's going to have to be on your case to get you to live right. We had a couple boys in the altar Sunday night, 2 weeks ago tonight, hadn't been back. No, they didn't get saved. I'm not criticizing them. I know they may be busy. I know they may be tied up with this or that. I want to tell you something. You get saved, and you want to be in the house of God. And you put that first above everything else in your life. Oh, it's later than you think. We may not get to camp meeting this year. We may not get to have camp meeting this year. We may be gone in that rapture. That's just how close we are. Anybody who believes we're that close, would you stand up with me right now? You believe we are so close. You believe we are so near that moment. You believe we're right at the door. You believe it is right now a time when God's Holy Spirit is moving. Now listen to me. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me. Everybody in this building, begin to pray. Father, Father, I'm asking you to break that barrier. I'm asking you to pull down that stronghold. Father, I'm asking you to break through that stubborn will. Father, I'm asking you for the miracle this morning. Father, right now, get a hold of that heart that's unsaved. That man or woman who claims to be a Christian, but they're not living it. They've never had this born-again experience. Father, somebody this morning can know you, and I put them in your hands and just ask you in Jesus' name this morning to save somebody. Are you praying? Save somebody. Everybody respecting God and standing, if you can, please. I want us just to listen a moment to the Holy Ghost. I want us to listen a moment to the call of the Spirit of God. I want us to listen a moment to the Word of God. I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and you did not regard me. I've shown you my care. I've reached for you, but you didn't hear me. He says, now you'll call on me and I won't hear you. You'll call on me and I won't be listening. You will seek me, but you can't find me. Help me, church, pray. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's fought me this morning as I've tried to preach in a way that's been unusual to me. But I want you to know something. He's a liar. And all of his effort is defeated. And the sweet Holy Ghost is going to have his way. Hallelujah. And somebody can be gloriously saved this morning. Somebody can know that you're right with God and ready to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Come if we would please, Sister Yvette. I want us to sing just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou biddest me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Hallelujah. I need every saint of God with their hand up praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to wait a few moments here as God deals with somebody's heart. We love you. There's nobody that comes to this church that we don't love them with all of our heart. We care for them. We desire to be a blessing to them. The coming of the Lord's at the door. It's later than you think. In fact, there's people all over the world, it's already too late for them. Tomorrow may be too late for you. Tomorrow may be too late for you. You got to hear me. I'm not trying to scare nobody. I preach this way all the time, everywhere I go. I don't know any other kind of preaching. I know I'm different. I know. But I want to tell you something. I care about your soul. I care about your soul. Raise your hand if you care about anybody's soul. Raise your hand. Sing it, Sister Beth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just as I am without one plea.
But that
thy blood
was shed for me. Anybody in the building that wants prayer, raise your hand. Saints, put your hands down and you want prayer. Raise your hand. Are you ready to change? He'll take you and make you brand new. He'll turn your life inside out and turn it outside right when he gets through with you. And it'll be so wonderful. You'll have greater joy than you've ever had. Hallelujah. Oh, but that thy blood. Anybody want prayer? Let me see your hand if you want prayer. Lady, would you like to come to Christ? Step out and pile yourself in this altar. Dear lady, give your heart and life to Christ. Hallelujah. I need a lady to come and pray with her immediately. Oh, this precious lady here visiting this morning, but she wants to be saved. He'll save you. Are you ready to be a new creature? Will you turn all, everything over to him? He's ready to change you. You kneel right there if you would. Just kneel. Come on, lady. I need a saint of God who knows how to pray. Come quickly. Come quickly. Thank you. Anybody else? I need prayer. I want to come to Christ. Help her kneel, sister. Oh, it's hallelujah. Oh, it's good to kneel before the Lord. That shows we submitting. Hallelujah. Anybody else? All right, I want everybody in this building to meet me in the altar. Visitor, you best just be right at home and you come right with us. Come, saints. Come, saints. Don't stand back and be careless. Come, let God deal with you. Let God deal with you. Hallelujah. Let God deal with you. I'll give you an announcement in just a moment for baptism, okay? Now just come quickly. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a, hallelujah. Come on up close. I need you as close as you can get to these altars. Ladies, hallelujah. And brethren, find somebody to pray with if you know his grace. Now let's pray. Lead us in prayer, brethren. Lead us in prayer, brethren. Father, we've come before you this morning. We cry out to you. We're burdened for these lives at this altar. We don't know who might be unsaved and needs Christ in their life, but we pray for them. Save them this morning, Lord. Save this dear lady. Oh, we want to see somebody come to Christ. We want to see somebody come to Christ. We love it. We love it. I need you to sing out if you would, please. Help me, brother. Oh, Lamb of God. I come. I come. I come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just as hallelujah. I am without one plea,
you know it.
But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
Hallelujah, O Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, I come. I come, I come. Hallelujah.
Are you giving your life to him? He wants to change you, but he'll turn you on that light. Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Pray with the saints. Pray with them. Hallelujah. 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 Is there anything more wonderful than Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that thou blood. Oh, me come. All right, I need every saint of God. Just lift your hand up and pray with me. Pray out with me, brother. Brother Dylan, pray out with me, brethren. I need saints of God praying. I need God, God hearing you, and we need to hear you. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm seeking your face. Lord, I'm seeking your face. With all my heart, I'm seeking your face. Oh, you know the need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Save her, Lord. Save her, Lord. Hallelujah. I repent of my sins. I turn from everything of the world. I turn from everything of wickedness. I turn to Christ. I come. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's take our time. We want to make sure this lady finds what she desires. If she wants him, we want her to have him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come. Come to thee. Oh, Lamb. Oh, Lamb of God. I come. Oh, I come. I love him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Let's lay our hands, but Father, we lay our hands on this dear lady. We bind those dark powers of hell that would keep her from the saving blood of the cross. Satan, take your hands off. Satan, you're a foul liar. And it's your desire to damn every soul you can get in your clutches. We bind you and command you broken and your powers defeated. The power of the sweet Holy Ghost to become real in this latest life. Convert her, change her, redeem her, make a new creature out of her, and may she never be the same. I'm ready. Are you ready? Slip your hands up and tell him you're ready. I'm ready. I give him my life. I turn from this world. I turn to Christ with all my heart. I give him everything I am. I'm ready to be his. Are you really ready to be his? I will serve you. I'll be in your house. I'll do the things right in your sight. I'll clean up my walk. I'll quit living in sin. Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. That's the words of Jesus to your heart. I pray for her now, saints. Holy Ghost, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mighty God by the Holy Ghost. Mighty God by the power of the Spirit of God. I claim a miracle. Devil, you liar. We bind your powers against this lady. I claim victory in her life. Hallelujah. Will you get in your Bible this afternoon? Read that Bible and dig your way in, and he will not fail you. Hallelujah. Now, saints, slip your hand up, and let's thank you for his word. Hallelujah. It's too late to be late. It's too late to be late. Do you love him? Do you love him with all your heart? Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for your grace to us. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your holiness. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. Jesus, be the all. Be the Lord of my life. Do you know that, Sister Beth? Jesus, be the Lord of all. Sing it out, will you? Hallelujah. I need it to have plenty of mine.
Jesus, be the Lord of all.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, be
the Lord. Now, how many of you want him to be the Lord of all?
Jesus,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we come to an altar service and you can feel the enemy fighting with all he's got. And then you know what saints do? They double down and fight back. That's what they do. If you don't, he'll rule. I'm telling you, he's not going to rule this morning. Raise your hand and bind the powers of hell. Devil, you a liar. You a liar. Devil, you a liar. In the name of Jesus, I claim the work of the Holy Ghost. I claim the work of the Holy Ghost. The kingdoms of my heart. One more time, hallelujah.
Surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I surrender all.
The kingdoms
of my heart.
Hallelujah. Now, church, we cannot have a baptism today. I didn't tell you that before I preached because I didn't want to discourage anybody. But the baptismal pool burst, and the water ran out. And I don't know how to baptize you in the water running across the yard, because I want you to be completely under all the way, because when you come up, I want you to be new creatures. And I know your stepfather's here to hear you, and they're supposed to leave for New York, but they're not going till I baptize them if I have to take them to the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? How many know he's good? How many of you heard the word of the Lord this morning? Do you agree it's too late to be late? It's too late to be late? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm beginning to feel victory now. Hallelujah. I don't like it when I got to fight. Hallelujah. But I'm willing. I'll do it. I'll double down. And I'm so sorry. So many of you. I don't know, five, seven, about 10 people maybe. Hallelujah. And you look so disappointed. Hallelujah. Well, we will plan something in a minute here. Does anybody have a swimming pool that we can use? All right, I know where there's a swimming pool. Is any water in it? All right, I'm not going to let you leave until I baptize you if you've got to go. Hallelujah. And we'll have one ready next Sunday for you, Sister Latasha, and your family, and for you, Brother Jordan. Hallelujah. I was excited about baptizing Jordan. Wasn't you, Brother? Hallelujah. It really was. I don't know how many. I know we had about 10. Had some others that aren't here that need to be baptized, and I am very sorry. We had it full last night, ready. Came in this morning, and it sunk down. So Brother Marlon got ready and filled it all up. Then what happened, Brother Marlon? They was trying to get one side up, and it bursted. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now listen, you don't let things like this discourage you. There's no such thing as accidents. God knows what he's doing. It'll be better when we do it. There'll be more people to be baptized when we do it. God always works that way. Now everybody's standing. Father, we ask you to go with us in the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask you to give us strength and wisdom. Help us to find our baptistry, a new one this week, and be ready next Sunday. Because we must baptize those who have been wonderfully saved. And we thank you for the joy of it. We thank you for the privilege. Be here in church tonight at 6 o'clock. Please don't miss it. And tell Sister Chambers happy anniversary. Where are you at, Sister Chambers? Tell her happy anniversary. She's had me 61 years today. Did you hear what I said? God bless you.
When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love, torn between my precious friends and my family and the place of peace that's waiting up above, hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne.